Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Garden Smart e-newsletter, the Piedmont Extension Gardener, the Triangle Gardener Magazine, and Dave's Garden e-newsletter. And maybe from Jerry Baker's Terrific Garden Tonics. We'll start with the Garden Smart e-newsletter. Stunning Shrubs for Early Spring Color by Justin Hancock. This time of year, I look for every sign of spring I can find. The slowly lengthening days give me some hope, but it's my garden's signals of the coming season that really help to break the winter blues. Seeing shrubs start to show off for spring is enough to help any gardener power through the final days or weeks or months, depending on where you live, of the cold season. Happily, there is a host of shrubs that provide early spring color. Here are a few favorites. Camellia, Nuncios Bella Rosa. Gardeners in mild winter regions get to enjoy the lush opulence camellias offer. There are few finer than Nuncios, N-U-C-C-I-O-S, Bella Rosa, a spectacular hybrid. It's loved for its extra-large 4-inch wide flowers, high bud count, and richly colored evergreen foliage. This beauty starts blooming in early spring or even late winter and continues through mid-spring. And Daphne, Moonlight Parfait. Bold and beautiful. Moonlight Parfait Daphne has a lot going for it. It's tough to say whether you'll love it most for its variegated evergreen foliage, clusters of rose-pink blooms, or intoxicating fragrance. Combining both beauty and a sweet scent makes this shrub the perfect plant to ring in spring. Forsythia Springshine. It's tough to talk about early blooming shrubs without mentioning Forsythia. It's one plant you can see across the yard when it bursts into bloom. Springshine is an exciting newer selection that shows off bold golden yellow flowers all along the stems from the top down. It also offers a tidy habit, growing only 2 feet tall and 3 feet wide. Hamillus Arnold Promise. Here's another yellow blooming shrub that brings beauty and cheer to the garden, even on the grayest days. Arnold Promise Witch Hazel produces golden spidery flowers along its stems that, when in full bloom, you can see from yards away. You'll want to plant it where you can enjoy it up close, though, as the blooms bear a lovely fragrance. Magnolia Stellata Royal Star. Royal Star Magnolia is a showstopper in early spring when its silvery gray winter buds burst open, revealing double water lily-like flowers. These masses of blooms are a surefire sign saying spring has arrived. Let it grow as a large shrub or train it as a small tree. Mahonia repens. Underutilized and underappreciated, this North American native evergreen deserves a spot in more gardens. In early spring, it shows off charming clusters above its evergreen foliage. If pollinated, these blooms form clusters of blue fruits that attract birds and other wildlife. enchanted forest, impish elf. Celebrate winter's end with the adorable pink flowers of enchanted forest, impish elf, lily of the valley shrub. Its pink-purple buds and evergreen foliage add winter interest. The real show comes in early spring, when the buds open to reveal its bright pink flowers. After the flowers fade, it puts on a second show as the new growth emerges a rich shade of red. Southern Moon, an evergreen shrub for mild climates. Southern Moon Rapiolepis offers rich green leaves that look good all winter long. It announces spring's imminent arrival, though, with the appearance of sheer cheery clusters of fragrant white flowers. This shrub is fabulous as a hedge or backdrop to a perennial garden, or if you live near the beach, as it posts good tolerance to salt spray. Rhododendron PJM, one of the finest flowering evergreens for northern gardens, PJM rhododendron truly dazzles in early spring when its buds open to unveil lovely clusters of lavender-purple flowers. It's an outstanding and reliable shrub for spring color. Plus, its relatively small size makes it an ideal companion for spring bulbs and early season perennials. Viburnum Pink Dawn, a classic for fragrance gardens. Pink Dawn Viburnum shows off attractive clusters of waxy cotton candy pink flowers in early spring as the shrub begins to leaf out. Even before the blooms open, its richly colored flower buds add interest to the late winter garden. It can also put on a good show come autumn when its leaves turn festive shades of fall colors. And now from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. The glory of gardening, hands in the dirt, head in the sun, heart with nature. To nurture a garden is to feed not just the body, but the soul. That was said by Alfred Austin. Using air plants to create a beautiful, low-maintenance indoor garden by Laura Leavitt. Looking for an easy-to-care winter for Winter Garden Edition, buy an air plant for some indoor beauty, both beautiful and impressive. Air plants belong to the genus Tillandsia, a group whose members can exist without soil and draw moisture from the air. While they still require some care, air plants do not rely on the soil's quality or precise moisture levels, so working them into your indoor garden can be a great way to brighten up the winter months. Their delicate shapes and compact size make air plants ideal for small spaces that are in need of a little beautification. The best part is they won't create clutter, or require large, messy pots of soil. Use air plants as part of a hanging or wall garden. Air plants make great additions to vertical gardens. Find small cups or pots that can be mounted on the wall and tuck an air plant into each one. You'll want to make sure to put them in a place that gets plenty of light, but usually vertical gardens can be easily positioned in a way that lines up with a particular window. Vertical gardens can make any space look trendy and unusual, as they offer a much more dynamic way to decorate a wall than static photographs or paintings do. If you're also a big fan of wall art, invest in an air plant with tones that will complement those in your favorite artwork and hang them near each other. You can also display air plants in hanging pots or glass bulbs to give your home the feeling of an indoor conservatory. If you're low on counter space, suspend a piece of twine or hemp from the ceiling and attach a clear open glass bulb or even a simple disc saucer to it so that an air plant can be held aloft in it and still receive sunlight. If you do not shade your windows, air plants can also be beautiful things to suspend from a curtain rod above the kitchen sink in glass terrariums. If you're interested in a more elaborate display, consider using an air plant as an accent inside a larger glass terrarium. Plants in closed-lid terrariums rely mainly on retained moisture to thrive, though several species have been known to do well inside them. If you feel like livening your terrarium up and making it look like a tiny world, you can always add small statuettes and trinkets to it. Note that while these closed-lid terrariums are beautiful, they're typically not the best place for Tillandsia. While you'll have to open the terrarium to give them water, the lack of airflow inside it when it's closed will eventually kill them. If you choose to opt for a lower moisture terrarium with an open lid, you can use air plants to accent a succulent or two, though these plants will require some moisture. Air plants will also allow you to make your terrarium multi-tiered, with soil-dependent plants in one section and air plants adorning another. Create your own work of art with a terrarium scene that includes air plants as accents to herb gardens or other practical indoor plants. If your indoor garden is mostly dedicated to growing herbs or aloes, you might want to accent your pots and planters with a few well-placed air plants. Since they still need watering, you will be reminded to care for them every time you go to pull a sprig of basil or dill. Air plants are a great first venture into the world of decorative gardening because they're quite easy to maintain, but also have an interesting and exotic look to them. As winter housewarming gifts, while giving a gift that requires upkeep can be tricky, a little air plant in a wall-hanging display or container can make a wonderful housewarming present for the person in your life who's moving into a new place during the winter. You can also throw in a spritz bottle to help them keep the plant hydrated, and some mechanism, be it a screw for a wall or an ornamental rope for suspending the plant, that allows them to both decorate their new home and create the feeling of lush life in it during a time of year that does not see a lot of plant growth. Tips for healthy, happy air plants. According to Fifth Season Gardening, when choosing a Tillandsia plant, you're guaranteed to get one of two varieties. The Messick variety will require more water and bright but indirect sunlight, while the Xeric, X-E-R-I-C, variety will subsist with less water and sunlight overall, but the sunlight it does get should be direct. You can identify a Xeric, X-E-R-I-C, air plant by its silvery, fur-like exterior. Messick, M-E-S-I-C, plants, on the other hand, are shinier and greener. All air plants anchor themselves with roots. If you see them growing roots, it's not because they want to find soil, but because they have grown on cliff faces and in high-up tree canopies, where their survival depends on them staying put in a place where they can access water and sunlight. If you choose to add a large air plant to your display, make sure you consider proper drainage, perhaps adding some moss around it to prop it up, and use some water-soluble orchid food to keep it growing larger. And now from NC State's Piedmont Extension Gardener, Lawns, Give That Cool Season Lawn What It Needs, by Dustin Adcock. Growing a beautiful lawn in the South can be a frustrating task, especially with cool season grasses such as tall fescue, Kentucky bluegrass, and ryegrass. Summer heat and drought can be a major stressor on cool season grasses. However, a lush lawn is definitely possible. How do we accomplish this? With careful and sufficient nutrient applications in the active growing season. Calculated and timely fertilization during the active growing season can improve the lawn the rest of the year. Fertilizing correctly helps the plant produce deep, healthy roots and dense foliage that can use deeper water reserves and cool the plant in extreme heat. As the soil becomes saturated and cooler in the fall, these grasses have their best opportunity to develop a deep and effective root mass. Also, these plants are at their greatest point of growth for the year, so their nutrient uptake is maximized. For a gradual release of nutrients to the grass as it's growing, make 3 applications of fertilizer annually. Work with your county extension agent to get a soil test and develop a plan to improve the fertility of your soil based on the test results. I recommend remembering 3 dates for fertilizing cool season grasses: Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Valentine's Day. First, apply a starter fertilizer at reseeding/sowing. A second application of a nitrogen-rich fertilizer is made near Thanksgiving. Finally, an application of nitrogen-only fertilizer should be made in the month of February. Be careful not to make the final application too late in the spring, which can cause an increase in disease pressure. Use your soil test results to determine the type and amount of fertilizer to apply. The rate of fertilizing in lawn is based on the nitrogen needs of turf grass and should not exceed 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. And some garden events from the Triangle Gardener magazine. Family Winter Scavenger Hunt, February the 23rd, 2:30 to 4. Chase away your family's winter blues while searching the gardens for plant names, taking pictures of your family at special places in the garden, or counting plants, steps, or bricks to answer our tricky questions. Suggestions for families with children in elementary and middle school. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. And How Plants Grow and Work, February the 25th through March the 17th. Tuesdays, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. How do plants grow, flower, fruit, and thrive in a range of conditions? Alec Motton, Associate Professor Emeritus, Duke Department of Biology, will address these questions. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This happens at Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. For more information, call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. And Lunchbox Talk, Native Plant Combinations, on February the 27th, 12 noon to 1 p.m., Take home some ideas for your yard at this lunchbox talk on native plant gardening. The focus will be on native plants that work well together. This happens February 27, 12 noon to 1 p.m. at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. And Deciduous Conifer Grafting Workshop on February the 29th. 9 a.m. to 12 noon. In this workshop, participants learn to graft ginkgo, dawn redwood, and bald cypress with Leanne Kennelly, plant breeding and nursery technician. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. Call 919-515-3132. 919-515-3132 for more information. And Gardening with 2020 Vision, March the 3rd. Learn from experts who will inspire you to create magic and tame the mayhem in your backyard with plant selections, a focus on biodiversity and sustainability, and using those big woody perennials, trees. There's a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at Davidson Symposium in Davidson, North Carolina. You can go to their website, davidsonsymposium.org. And there's a hellebore festival going on the 22nd, 28th, and 29th of February. And in March, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., is the 25th annual. This happens at Pine Knot Farms in Clarksville, Virginia. The number to get more information is 434-252-1990. 434-252-1990. And an introduction to rain barrels and rain gardens, February the 22nd, 10 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Learn the basics of how to design and install a rain garden or a rain barrel for your home. There's a fee and pre-registration is required. Register for barcode number 250518 at reclink.raleighnc.gov or call 919-996-2760. 919-996-2760. This will happen at Walnut Creek Wetland Park in Raleigh. And now for Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics. Far away feline spray. It's no secret that cats are territorial creatures with minds of their own. They do not see any problem with digging or rolling in freshly turned dirt, even if it's where you've just spent hours setting out a new ground cover planting. So when your cat's or somebody else's are getting up to no good in your garden, safeguard your plants with this potent mixture. Here are the ingredients. 4 tablespoons of dry mustard, 3 tablespoons of cayenne pepper, 2 tablespoons of chili powder, 2 tablespoons of flour, and 2 quarts of warm water. Mix these ingredients in a bucket or watering can and spray or sprinkle the solution any place where you want to set out the cat's unwelcome mat. And here are some more Meowvalus tonics. Looking for more options to keep kitties at bay? You can make them turn their noses and head elsewhere by overspraying the perimeter of your yard with either of these 2 tonics. Tonic number 1. Mix a half cup of tobacco tea and 1/4 cup of dishwashing liquid in 2 gallons of warm water to make tobacco tea. Place half a handful of chewing tobacco in an old nylon stocking and soak it in a gallon of hot water until the mixture is dark brown. And tonic number 2, add 1 clove of garlic crushed, 1 tablespoon of cayenne pepper, and 1 teaspoon of dishwashing liquid to 1 quart of warm water and puree the heck out of it. And Grandma Putt's pointers. Grandma Putt's way of heading off problems with frisky felines was to grow a big patch of catnip just for them. They'd be so busy romping and rolling in their own garden that they wouldn't even bother coming over to visit Grandma's ground covers. And a scat cat solution. Are prowling pussycats traipsing through your tulips or chewing on your crocuses? Surround your prized plants with this pungent potion, and the kitties are sure to go elsewhere for their munchies. The ingredients, 5 tablespoons of flour, 4 tablespoons of dry mustard, 3 tablespoons of cayenne pepper, 2 tablespoons of chili water, and 2 quarts of warm water. Mix these ingredients in a large watering can, then sprinkle the solution around your bulbs to keep cats from sleeping in or snacking on them. And twice as nice. If you're as penny-wise as I am, you'll love this little trick I use each year to double or even triple my dahlia display. Start the tubers in pots indoors in early spring and keep them warm and moist. When the shoots are about 6 inches tall, cut them off 1 inch above the soil line, then stick them halfway into a mixture of half sand and half compost. After watering lightly, cover the potted cuttings with a clear glass jar and set them in a place with bright but indirect light. In 4 to 6 weeks, they'll be rooted and ready for the garden. Out to lunch mix. Every spring, serve up this hearty lunch to your hardy bulbs. It'll give them all the nutrition they need to put on a really big show. The ingredients: 10 pounds of compost, 5 pounds of bone meal, and 1 pound of Epsom salts. Mix these ingredients in a bucket, stirring them together with a shovel. Top dress established bulb beds with the mixture in early spring when the foliage starts to emerge from the ground. This recipe makes enough for 100 square feet of soil. For an extra treat, add up to 5 pounds of wood ashes to the mix. Lilies make top-notch cut flowers, but they cost a bundle if you buy them from a florist. Save yourself some dough and grow your own. Here's a trick that'll save you a lot of cleanup time and effort. Make sure you pick off the anthers, those pollen-covered bits that dangle on long stalks from the center of each flower. Otherwise, the pollen will drop off and it can permanently stain fabric and furniture. Make your cut daffodils last longer. Pick when they're about half open. Make a 1-inch long slit up through the base of each stem. Then, stand the flowers in water up to their necks for several hours before putting them with other flowers in an arrangement. Daffodil stems are full of sap that clogs the stems of other flowers, so this prevents the problem and lengthens the vase life of all the flowers in your bouquet. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. You have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have comment or questions, call 919-832-5138.